to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, this is Joanna Penn for the Creative Pen Podcast, and today I'm interviewing Harriet Smart. Harriet is the creative director of Anthemion Software, which produces the Writer's Cafe Toolkit, a wonderful piece of software for writers. She has also written four historical novels and one contemporary novel, all published by Headline. She holds an MA in TV screenwriting and lives in Edinburgh, Scotland. Welcome, Harriet.
Hello, thank you, Joanna.
It's great to have you here. So, maybe you could start by telling us a bit about you and your books and your own publishing journey.
Right. Well, quite an interesting tale, because I've never had a proper job. I left university and got married, as people do back in the 80s, and we moved to Dundee, where my husband was doing a PhD. And the only jobs available at the time were casino croupier assistants or lambing assistants. That was the other thing, and neither of which I was very qualified for. So I thought, well, I've got this time on my hands. Let's write that first novel, that novel that had been bugging me during my degree, that I wanted to run away and write this novel. So I did. And amazingly, after 18 months work, I had found an agent and got two publishers and, you know, chose my publisher. And it all seemed like I was set for a career as a novelist. And I wrote, you know, four more novels, and it was all going fine. They weren't selling brilliantly, but they did marvelously in the libraries. And I thought, well, my readership is growing, my brand is established. And then suddenly, it was in the mid to late 90s, they said, well, no, we don't want you anymore.
Sorry. Aww.
Next novel rejected. And I, at the time, this was pretty devastating, but fortunately I got pregnant and had my daughter, which is coincidentally quite handy. So I had, you know, I had the excuse of a career break. But getting back has been nigh on impossible. And fortunately, I've done other things, and I've been forced to do other things. But the interesting thing was that period in time, the mid to late 90s, I think a lot of authors like me who were in this kind of mid-list category discovered that their careers just hit a brick wall. And I think it's to do with the huge changes in the structure of the publishing industry in the UK at that time, you know, with all the big takeovers and the beginning of the celebrity novel type of things, which completely cut into the mid-list.
Mm.
And that thought of building a slow career, you know, you had to be a celebrity to get anywhere from that point on. And that's, I think, really sure. So over the years, I've discovered I haven't been alone. But, you know, this could be a very sad story, but I am actually very glad that in a way it stopped when it did. I learned a huge amount about what sort of a writer I am, where I could go with it, what skills I had, actually what you need to do to be a writer. And I feel now that if I'd known the things I know now, I would have been much better placed back when my first novel was published, you know, things about how you should design books for the market, how you should think about how you publicize and sell your books. Never assume that a publisher will sell your books. You know, this is the assumption that authors make, that somehow just writing the book is enough. And that is not the case anymore. And that's something I have learned along the way. And this is what we're, you know, trying to do with Writers' Cafe and various other things, is that just help writers to have a bigger realization of what being a writer means these days.
Mm. Wow, that's brilliant. That is a fantastic insight into the mid-list.
Yes. Oh, the mid-list, yes. It's been very interesting to see that other people have had that experience. I don't think that leadership has gone away. I think it's just not being catered for. And I think this is where the internet represents a wonderful opportunity, and e-books, to find the people who were reading those books again and, you know, get your work to them.
Yeah, and that's brilliant. And interestingly enough, because, you know, a lot of people focus on the first book, you know, and actually, you know, as you've said, the first book can get there in the second book, but you've actually got to keep getting a publisher, haven't you? And they do say it's harder to sell your, like you did, harder to sell your fifth book than your first book.
Absolutely. There's a very interesting chap called Lee Jackson. He runs an absolutely wonderful site on Victorian London, which I can't remember, but he was selling very good numbers with HarperCollins, I think it was, and, you know, he was selling sort of 60,000 books, you know, of historical crime fiction, which you would think straight-ahead market, he'd got his readership, and they just said a couple of years ago, no, we're not doing you anymore, you know, it's over. And that's the sort of thing, but he has harnessed the internet in a most extraordinary way, and, you know, built his career back up. So I think he's a very good example of how the mid-list can fight back.
Oh, no, I think that is brilliant. But, you know, coming back to you, and so you, when did you then, because we're talking about software today, when did you sort of write the Writer's Cafe software then? When was that?
Well, we, Julian and I, have had, for a long time, were kicking around the idea of, What would a good piece of software for writers be? And it's one of these wonderful evolutions. You know, I remember one holiday we had on Collins Day when it was raining and raining and raining, and we sat in our hotel room and sort of kicked ideas around for lack of anything else to do. And at that time, we were thinking in terms of, oh, you know, do you model the story? And I tried various other bits of software that are available. I don't know if you've ever tried Dramatica, which is a very complicated, you know, they have a very complicated model of a story, and somehow your story is supposed to conform to this. And this is the sort of how software engineers design things. They go from there must be a model, and therefore we apply the model to all the things. But big realization we had was that there is no model, universal model of a story. What there is are writers who are trying to need to organize themselves better. And this didn't really become clear to me until I took this screenwriting course as a sort of way back to work after having the baby type of thing. And we were being asked to write daytime TV scripts, which for a show in the UK called Doctors, which has usually four storylines running. You know, it has the story of the day, plus the ongoing the doctor-nurse relationship, the, you know, the comedy story that runs underneath, and there's usually something else that's grumbling on in the background, you know, like the property developers are going to knock the surgery down or whatever. So you have to manage four stories at once within a half an hour piece of television drama, and that's quite a difficult thing to do because each story has to be complete in its own terms. And organising this is difficult. So I was throwing around bits of paper and sort of they were falling off the bed and, you know, I was scribbling all that. I said, Julian, is there any way that we could turn this messy process into something that's much quicker so I can get my ideas down on paper really quickly and organise them really quickly so I can see where I am in each of those stories? So what we came up with first, which is the sort of centre, the beating heart of Writer's Cafe, which is storylines, which is such a simple idea, which is basically index cards pinned along lines, and so you can see your storylines all at once. But there was something magic there that happened about it being horizontal. You know, I hadn't even thought that it would be horizontal, but when we did them horizontally, and I tested it out, I just found this extraordinary sense of, oh, yes, and then this is what happens. And you keep filling the cards and laying them on the line. And it's quite extraordinary how easy it is then to come up with the next idea and the next idea. And I think our other users have also had this kind of, oh, you know, it works.
Yeah. It works. Yeah, and from my perspective, that's the thing that I found most useful. I mean, and we'll talk about the other aspects of the program, but that storylines, when I actually tried it, and I found that, you know, I could put my subplots there. I could put my main plot, you know, they go from here to here and do this and this, and then I had the subplot with some of the other bits underneath it. And you can have all kinds of streams, can't you, in one story?
Yes, I mean, I've always, when I've written my novels, I've always done it from, when I planned them, I planned character by character. So, for example, my third novel, yes, The Daughters of Blaine, which has got 5 or 6 viewpoint characters over, and it takes place over about 12 years in the 1890s. And I remember this was pre-storylines. This was very difficult to plan. And I think I actually used a long roll of lining paper, you know, wallpaper, just to try and plan out who was doing what when. And so you can use a storyline. The way I use storylines now is I use each character who's, so I'm immediately in the head of the character whose storyline I'm planning. And then you can, you know, at the same time, you can take the inner and the outer journey, to use a piece of jargon, story development jargon, at the same time. So I find that's where I find it's most helpful.
And as
I'm glad you work for you, yes.
Yes, well, as you said, organising a novel is actually really difficult, and I'm just writing my first novel. It's much easier to write a non-fiction book than it is to write a novel, I am discovering. And that organising is exactly the point. And what's also good is you can move the lines, the cards around, can't you, so that you can see the effect on the story.
Yes, yeah, and that's very helpful, because you may find that you've got too long a gap between incidents, or you've missed out a crucial incident that leads to another incident. You know, I think plotting is the thing that first-time novelists really scares people, because it is such a scary word. You know, you've got to plot your novel. And hopefully, if you just see it as a process where you just gradually tease out what's happening to the people that you've been thinking about in little bite-sized chunks, you know, card at a time. You know, she's bought the handbag to show so-and-so that she's actually got enough money to buy the handbag. You know, you can go into such trivial detail in this system, which can lead you into all sorts of places that you didn't actually think you knew you were going, which is so much better than being told on page 15 that you have to have a plot point and this is a turning point. I mean, what does a turning point actually mean in terms of a character who's experiencing things and is trying to solve problems on the ground? So it's non-analytical. It helps you immerse yourself in the story, and I hope that's what people find they can do with it.
Absolutely. So what are some of the other aspects of the Writer's Cafe? Because there's a stack of other things in there.
Yes. What we wanted to do after we'd finished, you know, Storylines had been selling on its own, was to create what we say a place to be creative. So it's a whole environment where you can actually do your writing practice for a start, which, you know, there are arguments for and against writing practice. But I think, you know, when you're starting out, it's a very good idea to try and write every day, or at least every other day. And if you're having trouble, there's a little timer so that you can set yourself a little, you know, 20-minute burst. It will tell you, oh, you've done 20 minutes of writing. Well done. There's a character database, which we're going to improve and enhance for the next version, because I think this is something I've got very interested in, is the way the characters actually create stories. But the character database, where you can record all those useful details about characters which can get lost. And also, it's a very good tool asking, you know, a blank questionnaire, asking, you know, name, rank and number, so to speak. You find out you can generate characters by actually making the process of making a character profile, and the same for settings, which are something that if people ask you the right questions, you will often come up with the ideas. So it helps to make you ask questions. And also there's some other brainstorming tools. There's a couple of things. There's a mind mapping sort of tool, which is quite fun. And my favorite, which is the collage, which is just when you're at that really beginning stage of a story where you just want to collect sort of random post-it notes about facts that you know about these people. For example, he was expelled from school. You know, this is something which you can't put in a timeline, but it's an important fact about a character. And it may be something that you can base a whole incident or a storyline about. And you can put pictures in there, or information, research, you know, like a big folder, but it's all digitized for you. And you can, again, move it around. And it also has aspect, I don't know if you ever come across magnetic poetry.
Yes, yes.
Fridge, where you have all those words. Well, we have our own version of that as well. So you can just play with words and, you know, just come up with some ideas if you're feeling stuck. And it has exercises, so it has a exercise. It will generate, you know, fun situations that you have to write about. And, of course, there's the Fiction and Facts ebook, which I wrote, which is my sort of take on basic stories and how they work, and also some other articles which I call writing recipes, which are just sort of dealing with certain issues, like, you know, how you write a sex scene, how you write a good ending, you know, just sort of general stuff. So there's all sorts of stuff in there, and hopefully people find some of it or all of it useful.
It is. It's fantastic. And a little plug, people can go and download a free version, can't they?
The demo.
Yes, the demo version.
It's only limited by the fact you can use 9 cards, but that gives you that will give you enough of an idea, and that's completely free.
That's wonderful. And we'll put some links.
Try that.
Yes.
Thank you.
So I guess, you know, one other question is that I think Scrivener is the best known software for writers. Is there any comparison between Writer's Cafe and Scrivener?
Well, I don't know Scrivener very well, but I do know that it only works on the Mac, which is a bit of a limitation for us all who have PCs. So we are quite cross-platform. We work on the Writer's Cafe works on the PC, the lap, Linux, if you're a real geek. And also, there is a Mac version, but it's not as stable as the PC and the Linux version. So that's our principal strength. So it's horses, really, I think.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So I guess, you know, one thing people are thinking is, you know, why the hell would I use software anyway? You know, so why does software make an author more productive? Is it very different, or is it for a certain personality? Why is it good to have software, I guess?
I think it is to do with personality, and I totally don't have this evangelical opinion that everyone should be using Writer's Cafe all the time for all their writing. I think writers are always looking for tools, be it the most beautiful notebook to make them feel good about being a writer, to a pen, to taking an MA course, or, as a friend of mine said, to buying a shed in the garden where they can go and write. So it's finding things that help, because as we all know, it's not an easy job. You know, the pay is terrible. Nobody understands what you're doing, and it's quite difficult when you do it. So we need all the help we can get. And I think, in our case, I think Writer's Cafe does help find the shape of your story in a non-threatening way. Now, I know for some writers, that's anathema. They do their planning in their head, and they're very lucky. But I feel that in this current market, I think designing a novel, designing the shape of your fiction before you write it, is so important. I'm developing a concept at the moment of the sort of author as entrepreneur, which I think you'd probably be quite sympathetic to.
Absolutely.
But, you know, we have to be a little bit more rational without sacrificing our creativity when we write. And then this rational aspect means creating a shape, you know, having the plan ready to write. Because if you have a good plan, you will probably have a good pitch. And it is the pitch that will make marketing your story much easier and selling it. And because you need to know what it is that you're selling. You know, this is the classic thing in business, isn't it? You know, I need to know that I am selling fluffy, absorbent, dark blue towels that will look fabulous in your bathroom. And often I don't think writers have a very clear idea about actually what it is they're selling in their book. And I think the process of designing and using software or something like this just helps you be that little bit more rational and organized without, I hope, sacrificing the creativity that makes that work sing. And I think it's a question of finding a balance. And I hope that Writer's Cafe isn't so intrusive that it doesn't destroy people's you know, what makes fiction great that helps them to get that fiction out there and be marketable and promotable and all those things.
Mm. And I'm interested in your screenwriting. So you did a screenwriting course. How do you think that screenwriting adds to writing a novel? Is it, you know, should authors be reading books on screenwriting to help with structure?
I think there is an argument for that. Although screenwriting books can be very, very technical, very, you know, it's page 30, you need to have an incident now, and very prescriptive in that sense, which can be a little bit dangerous. But I think they are a very good guide to the importance of structure. And no film writer actually would sit and write a film without a step-by-step outline of the stuff that you would get out of Writer's Cafe. And I think a lot of novelists would find having an outline incredibly helpful. It makes you make less mistakes. You'll write more quickly. And again, to go back, you will be more aware of what your product, in inverted commas, is, so that you can think about how you're going to sell it in the first place, which is something that screenwriters do. They have a very clear idea of what their films are about, who their market is, who could distribute. You know, they're much more businesslike. So I think screenwriting is helpful. But they are different. I came out of my screenwriting course realizing I was a novelist still, which was quite interesting. Mm. And the novel is still, you get to be your own movie director. You know, you create the entire world. You don't have to collaborate to that degree. You have to collaborate with yourself to get you doing the work. But I think it is a very useful study for a novelist. And also there is the important aspect that we live in a visual culture. I mean, my husband doesn't read much fiction, but he watches lots of movies and things, and he has a very acute sense of how stories work. And that's public is very, you know, very well versed in visual storytelling now, and we'll want stories to jump off the page at them. So I think there's a lot of things that you can learn about the immediacy of screenwriting and the use of dialogue and things like that, which can make your writing more powerful and popular and accessible to readers. I think a lot of very popular novels now read like movies.
Yes, and I'm so glad you said all that. I was kind of setting you up for that answer, because, you know, I'm writing what I want to be, a popular novel aimed at something cinematic, you know, set in wonderful locations that are very cinematic with a lot of action, you know. So I'm kind of writing, aiming at that market, which is essentially what, as you've said, what screenwriters do. It's like, you know, I must have action here and I can't go off in too much narrative, because people expect much faster paced, you know, stories these days, don't they, in terms of popular fiction, not literary fiction.
Yes, but I don't think you should do yourself down, because you remember that, you know, the popular fiction of the 19th century is now what we study as literature.
Yes, it's the only stuff that lasted.
Yeah, well, I mean, a writer like Wilkie Collins, who is so modern in the way that his take on life and his storytelling is just so, so exciting. I think he would be a screenwriter now, I suspect. But yes, I think your approach there, that just sounds absolutely right. And I think the novel has to compete with the cinema in a way. You know, you've got to say, well, why pick up this black and white item? What can I offer? And to be thinking about a novel in cinematic terms, that sounds great. Can't wait to read it.
And it's so much fun to write, you know, there's explosions everywhere.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, those are difficult to write. It's very difficult. I find action extremely difficult to write. You know, I wrote a fight scene once and it was so lame.
But well, we'll see. You know, I'm still on first draft.
Yeah, the action happens off stage in my
Oh, well, that's all very well. Okay, well, look, we haven't got much time, but I wanted to pick up on your comment about the author as entrepreneur, because it's absolutely what I believe. It's how I run my business. You know, I certainly make a tiny amount of money from selling my books, and I sell online courses. I sell, you know, weekend courses and speaking and things. And you sell software, which is fantastic. So can you comment a bit more on the author as entrepreneur and multiple streams of income?
Yes. The more the merrier, I think.
Yeah.
I think this is the way we all have to go these days. I was talking to a careers teacher at a party yesterday at one of the good girls' schools in Edinburgh, and I was dying to ask her, so what do you think about portfolio careers? And, you know, are you teaching them all to be entrepreneurial? This is not the moment for this. But that's the sort of careers advice I think we should be giving out, is that you have to, it is this marriage, and it's not the most comfortable marriage, between being imaginative, being creative, being lost in that distant fiction world, which is to create your product. And then you've got to come out, step out of that and think, well, this, you know, that's not going to make me much money, but I can make money doing this, and I can make a bit of money doing that, and I can make a bit of money doing X, Y, and Z, which is what we're trying to do. I'm bringing my backlist out on Kindle. And, you know, anything else I write now, I'm going to self-publish.
Yeah.
I can see that the revenues, if I sent it to a publisher, they're not going to sell the book. I would still have to do the PR and the marketing, so I might as well take the bigger slice. I do think it represents a huge opportunity for writers, but we do have to think how people are going to find the good e-books. You know, there's got to be some sifting mechanism. But I think, in the end, the work has to speak for itself, and that's another thing. But we had no qualms about selling our own software. You know, I didn't have to go to a publisher and be told that my work was good enough to publish this piece of software. We knew it worked. And I think this is something that novelists have to get away from, feeling that they have to be verified by people in publishing, because people in publishing are not, in mainstream publishing now, are not actually verifying things for our, you know, they're not recognizing quality. They're recognizing, I can sell this with my overhead, and you know, we can make a profit on that. And I think writers don't understand the business of writing and return on writing, and, you know, they are too caught up in the imaginative side to actually realize how the business side works. And I was naive. I didn't understand it, but I think I am beginning to understand it now. And this is why I think this idea of the author entrepreneur, who understands that there are these two sides to the job, the author side and the entrepreneur side, is going to be in a much stronger position. And hopefully we'll find that they can write. It's very liberating. You will find you can write what you want to write without being told what to write by arbitrary other people who are pursuing different goals from you. You can pursue your own goals, and if you fail, it's only your fault, isn't it?
And I'm so glad you said that, because I was going to ask you, so are you going to self-publish your backlist now? Because have you been reading the stuff that J.A. Comrath has put out?
Yes, this is very interesting. Yes. I mean, I don't think I'm going to do as well as that, but because he's obviously quite a following, but it is extremely interesting, the figures that are coming out.
Yes,
I have. You know, I've got one book on Kindle at the moment, which hasn't been published before. It's a Regency historical romance that I wrote, which is quite fun, but it hasn't sold many yet. But I haven't really promoted it or anything. We just did it as a sort of test piece to see how the system worked. But we do have another product actually on the way from Anthemion, which is called Juto, which is actually to help people e-publish. And this is the next stage on from, they, you know, they write their novel with Writer's Cafe and it'll be wonderful, but then they need to, it's quite complicated software hoops you have to jump through to e-publish at the moment. And Julian has been working on this wonderful little product which you can feed your novel into, and it will come out in a format suitable for e-publishing.
No, that's marvelous. And I mean, we might have you back on to talk about that But it's no, it's really great to hear you're going to do that. And I certainly encourage everyone, and very much with my site, I talk about the business side of it a lot. You know, as I'm an entrepreneur primarily, I guess, an author second. actually, I think Kiyosaki, you know, he wrote that Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And made millions and millions from his self-publishing empire these days, you know, said, I am an entrepreneur first, I'm a writer second, you know, and that's the way it should be. I guess we all have to pay the bills. But what's nice is that we can be creative as well as earning money. And that's why I like Conrath as well, because he's clearly creative and now he's clearly raking it in.
I think so. I mean, I think this is a great moment, actually. I think there is huge potential. And if we can find that balance between being creative and being entrepreneurial and somehow teach ourselves to divide the tasks and not to be overwhelmed by one or the other. Because I think so many people who want to be creative are overwhelmed by the idea of being entrepreneurial. But I think, you know, there's two sides of the same coin. Many of the skills are transferable. You just have to think about yourself in a different light. It's all to do with self-belief and, you know, what's possible. And that's not easy. It's never, never easy. I mean, we all have those terrible, terrible periods when you think, oh, yeah, I can't write and who's going to read this and what's the point? But, you know, I think the internet and technology offers us huge opportunities to go forward and do you know, fulfill the dream, which is basically to write, communicate with writers and make readers and make a living doing so.
Absolutely. That's brilliant. Well, we have to stop there. So where can people find you and your books and also Writers Cafe?
Well, my backlist, as it struggles back to reach the light, will be available on my website, which is harrietsmart.com. And you can also read my blog at fictionwitch.com and writerscafe.co.uk if you want the software. And that's where you download the demo. And also, I am on Kindle in a very small way.
Brilliant.
And also on the Extraordinary Smashwords, which is something else I could talk about at great length, but I won't.
yes, that's another time. But yes, we love Smashwords here
so
as
much
well.
To talk about, but yeah.
There is, and as you said, it's a very exciting time, and yeah, so fantastic. Thank you ever so much for your time, Harriet. That was brilliant.
Thank you. No, it was really interesting, and I thank you very much. Very, very flattered to be asked.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time.